for a change. Well, a lot of folks right now are rethinking their careers. Maybe the career they have done for many years just isn't available to them. Maybe they're just burnt out and sick of it, and they're ready for a change. Well, my next guest is Carrie Hannon, and this is her area of expertise. She is also a financial journalist, and she's worked for many, many years for publications like USA Today and US News and World Report. But one of the things she does is writes a very popular column called Second Acts, and she profiles individuals who have made dramatic changes. I'm looking at Carrie's book right now. It's What's Next? Follow Your Passion and Find Your Dream Job. Welcome, Carrie.
Hi, Jerry. Great to be here.
Glad to have you. And by the way, I loved your book. It was a great read because it's fun. Lots of great stories, very diverse, but also a lot of good tips in it, too. So I picked it up, read it on the plane, and couldn't put it down. So I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. That's what it's all about. You know, I think the people stories, Jerry, really are there to inspire people to say, hey, this is how they were able to do it. And I might not make that exact same career switch, but I see how it can be done. And then we have the takeaway advice of let's figure out how you can do this.
Yeah, so you've interviewed a lot of folks from different walks of life and different backgrounds. What do you see, Carrie, has been the biggest roadblock to making a change like that?
You know, Jerry, this is going to be something that's near and dear to your heart, but money is the biggest stumbling block for people, and on several levels. I mean, on one level, it's this fear of change and earning less money. And frankly, if you do change jobs, I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat it, very frequently, you do start over at a lower income than what you had been at before. Or if a lot of people move to nonprofit work from a for-profit to a nonprofit job, when they make a career change to kind of do something that feels like they're giving back in a way that they may not have done in their first career. And in that instance, you're generally going to be making less money also. So you need to be prepared to make less. And I think that fear is very real for people. It's also this fear of failure. And what do I do if I don't have any income, if it doesn't work out for me? That's scary. So it comes down to money, and the thing that often prevents people, which we can talk about a little more, Jerry, is this, you know, I say you have got to be financially fit in order to make a career change so that you're not stressed out about earning less money. And there are lots of ways to get financially fit, and you absolutely need to pay down your debt.
Yeah. Well, and some people, Carrie, because of the economy, they're making a conscious choice about making a change, but they're sort of rushed into it sooner than perhaps they would have if they were still making decent money in what they were doing. Have you talked to any career changers who sort of, you know, just had to jump in?
Yeah, I mean, definitely that's a reality for many people today, and you just need to shift gears. And in fact, you know, the most successful career changers that I've profiled are the ones that honestly did have a couple of years to lay the groundwork and so forth. But if you need to make a quick change, it can be done, but you're going to have to be very disciplined, I think, and really take a hard look at your finances and see where you can really downsize and be careful in order, if you do have to accept a position that's going to be less than what you are at, then you're going to have to change your lifestyle, and it doesn't have to be forever, but there are steps you can take.
So you just mentioned, you know, successful career changers, and most of the people you interview are usually baby boomers, right?
Right.
Okay, so they're not 20-something deciding what they're going to do. They're going to someone who's had a career and is now going to change. What are some of the common elements you found among those who have been successful?
Yeah, you know what's interesting, Jerry, is I think a lot of people at sort of this age, you know, late 40s onward, to make a change in their careers when they have the time to do it, are often spurred to do it by some sort of crisis in their life. And so a lot of the people I met really came to grips with, hey, you know, I really want to do something that has more meaning for me and for people around me by a crisis. Either it was a health scare of their own or they lost someone they loved. And 9/11 actually struck several people that, you know, very, very real, the sense that life is short, and so let's get on with it. So you had that as sort of the impetus to make a move. But the things that helped them, Jerry, were no one acted impulsively. They were really able to pause and to plan, to do that inner soul searching that you need to do before you prepare to make go off in a new direction. But during that time, they were able to network, reach out to people who were doing those jobs and say, you know, what's it like? Is this something I want to be doing? And they were able to, you know, volunteer and actually moonlight. Do the job first. I always say to people, you have absolutely, it sounds really romantic to run a bed and breakfast or open an Italian restaurant or any of those things, but go and do it for a while and see if it really is all of those things for you, because it comes down to work ultimately. So they were able to apprentice, they added essential skills. Maybe they had to go back to school and get more more training for what they wanted to do, but they were able to do that while they still had their primary job at that time. So those are some really key things that they were able to do and to help them get started. And then that next piece that we started on, they were able to downsize and plan their financial lives in order to afford to take a cut in pay, as we talked about.
Well, when you talk about trying out a different career job, I mean, how do you find that? You don't just, I mean, do you walk into an Italian restaurant and say, I want to own an Italian restaurant?
You can. I mean, the truth of the matter is, if you're not asking for money to do it, people love having an extra hand, you know?
Right.
And frankly, there's a great story in the book of a couple that started Barking Dog Chocolatiers in Charlotte, North Carolina. And they both loved cooking and pastries, and they took chocolate classes and pastry classes in different cities around the world on their vacations while they were still working their primary job. But Joel actually walked into Dean and DeLuca and offered up his services to help out making chocolates. And he got them at a busy time, and they said, sure, jump right in. So that helped him get a sense and build on from there. And they started making chocolates for a little local restaurant and so on. And now they have a nice business going.
Well, and some of the changes you talked about in your book were pretty dramatic. The story of the cop in Los Angeles who got into the music industry, that one was pretty striking. That's a big change.
And the thing is, she had so much chutzpah. She wasn't afraid to take it. I mean, she didn't think anyone would turn her down. So I mean, when you're an LA, California Highway Patrol, you don't take no for an answer, I think. So Jill had a lot of confidence, and she worked it, and it was, she would tell you that there were days where she just put her head down and cried, probably. But
right.
You know, it's not always everything. You got to be prepared for setbacks, I think, when you're making a career change. It's very romantic and wonderful, but you take the right steps. But there are going to be, so you have to have the confidence you're going in the right direction. Jerry, one of my favorite changes was the guy who ran away with the circus, you know? And he was a Navy pilot, and when he took retirement at 55 from the, he had always loved the circus as a kid. That's what he did. He remembered going with his father and playing circus in his backyard, and with the Navy, he always went to circus in different towns around the world. And so when he retired, he may have been able to fly a corporate aircraft or gone to work for the Defense Department or something, and he said, no, I want to go work for the circus. And he reminded me that the circus and the military are not all that different. And he got a job as the company manager for the Big Apple Circus.
Wow.
So he used all his leadership skills, all the things he had learned in his primary career, really did translate to moving a circus troupe up and down the East Coast. It was some very basic leadership and management skills that had always been part of his repertoire. So I think it's a good point your listeners should understand is that you're not reinventing yourself, you are in a sense, but really you're redirecting your skills. You're redirecting many of the things you already do now. You're just moving them in a different direction. And frankly, you don't have to totally change your career either. You can just move to a different industry, and maybe that is enough spark to get your working world going again.
Well, you talked a little bit about preparing, and one of the things you suggested was to try working in the field or the industry that you want to work in. What are some other things you can do to prepare for this kind of change?
Well, I think, you should do that. You need to talk to people. Networking is so, so important in our world today, and really talk to people who are doing those jobs. And also, often people are wondering, Jerry, not everyone says, oh, I'm passionate about this. I've always wanted to make chocolates, or I love music. A lot of people aren't quite sure where they will be best or what they're best suited to. So you really need to ask people who know you well, your colleagues, your friends, your family, and often they will spot things about you and your talents and your abilities that you take for granted and you don't recognize how you can build a business out of that or move into a new career direction with some of these skills that, you have, but you're not really focusing on.
So that, I think that, you know, that's a key point, is figuring out what you're going to want to do next if you don't have something already lined up as your passion. Are there, besides talking to friends and family, are there other tools or techniques you suggest in the book?
Well, I talk a lot about, and it's a little touchy-feely, but I really think you need to, you know, get in touch with yourself in many ways and think about the things in your life, you know, that have always made you happy, the things you've done well, even going back to when you were a kid and in school and high school and in college. Where did you excel? What were the things, the moments that you felt best about yourself and really felt that it was something that you could really bring something to the party? And I think a lot of people don't take the time to remember, to really take a sort of a broad scan of their own life and say, okay, let me look back at what things I love to do, and get serious about it, and then you can narrow it down from there. I think that's a real simple thing, but I often say you need to be financially fit to make a career change, but you also need to be you need to be physically fit and spiritually fit. So in many ways, you need to, it's a whole, when you change your career, you're changing your whole life. So you need to be in a really good position and spend time getting to know who you are.
Do most of the people that you interview have the financial resources to start something really different, or are some of them trying to pull it together as they're going along?
I think it's a mix. I think that, Jerry, in the book, What's Next, Follow Your Passion and Find Your Dream Job, I focus a lot on many of the people there did take an early retirement package, perhaps, and had some, so they had a bit of a cushion, or they have a partner. You know, often if you have a partner in your life, that makes it a little bit easier because you don't have the fear of what am I going to do for health benefits and some of these really basic things that we need to think about. And what if it is a little harder getting started? You have another income to fall back on. But at the same time, I often say that someone who is single also can be a little more nimble, and you might be able to move to a location where there is more opportunity to start over. And I've done a couple of those lists of great cities for career changers. One I did for U.S. News and World Report, and one for The Daily Beast. And I think they both give people ideas, and often some of these towns are often college towns or university towns or towns with great health care centers.
Could be great places to live. Well, Carrie, we're going to go to a break in just a moment. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the idea of getting financially fit for a career change, and, you know, also a little bit about the working retired, which seem to be more and more common these days as folks are trying to stretch their dollars. You're listening to Carrie Hannon. She is the author of What's Next, Follow Your Passion and Find Your Dream Job. The book is on Amazon and at other bookstores, and you can also find her column on secondact.com, U.S. News and World Report, and a variety of other publications. I'm Jerry Detweiler. Talk Credit Radio is brought to you by YouCanRefi.com. If you've had trouble refinancing your mortgage because the value of your home has dropped, you'll need to know about a special program that may allow you to refinance into a low-cost, affordable, fixed-rate mortgage, even if you currently owe more than your home is worth. This program is available for your primary residence, second home, or even investment homes. To find out if you qualify, contact the mortgage educators at youcanrefi.com. Call them at 888-777-YOUCAN or visit them online at youcanrefi.com for a free, no-obligation consultation. And by credit.com. Credit.com's free identity risk score uses the same technology that Fortune 100 companies use to detect and avoid fraud, to help you understand your risk of being targeted by fraud. And it's completely free, with free updates. You can detect potential misuse of your identity and gain insight into how your data may be at risk. Again, it's free and secure at credit.com. You've got credit questions? I've got answers. I'm Jerry Detweiler, and this is Talk Credit Radio. We're live every week and on the web 24/7 at talkcreditradio.com. Welcome back. I'm talking with Carrie Hannon, and she's the author of a book called What's Next, and she is an expert on folks who have made a career change, often very dramatically. Carrie, we were talking about one of the things that you have to do to prepare is to be financially fit. What are some tips there?
Well, you know, and Jerry, you're the true expert in this, as I well know, but the thing is, you know, debt is really a dream killer. So the most important thing you can do is you start first, sit down and chart a budget. Okay, if you're going to be living on less, which we talked about earlier in the segment, you probably need to trim your expenses. So it's smart to set aside perhaps 6 months cushion of living expenses, if possible, for transition costs and emergencies. So I really encourage people to try to do a detailed budget. I know it sounds really deadly, but it can be very critical. Secondly, downsizing is really important, if possible, and it really depends on your real estate market today. If it makes sense for you to move to a smaller home, I have someone I profiled in my book who moved from their home. They sold their home. They moved to a condo, and they were able to, now they don't have a mortgage. I mean, that's a dream, but it is something that really has made it possible for him to go from being a mortgage broker to being a high school teacher now and making, you know, a fraction of what he made before, but absolutely loving his life. So, you know, if you can refinance your mortgage, which may be a little more doable, you know, what I'm saying is if you can downsize in your home and your real estate, that's a very key step. Third is what we, you know, getting out of debt. I mean, and this is hard to do. So it really takes time. So if you have time before you make a career transition, in the months leading up to it, the year or so leading up to it, while you're putting the pieces of the puzzle together with adding your skills or what have you, you might want to, you know, get those high-interest credit cards paid down, college loans, audit loans, you know, those kind of things that could really help you. The cleaner your balance sheet is when you start a new adventure, the better your opportunities are going to be, because it'll give you more freedom. And finally, and this is a point that I know you talk to your listeners quite a bit about, but raising your credit score. Because if you are starting over in a new field and you are looking at a new employer, perhaps employers check your credit scores now. And if you are starting your own business, which a lot of people do at this time, they just say, hey, I'm sick of working for the man. I'm going to be an entrepreneur. I've got this great idea. Well, that's all wonderful, but if you need to, A, get a bank loan, you're going to have people looking at your credit score, and B, if you have to rent space. I mean, landlords check your credit score. So I think you can't drum that into people's heads hard and fast enough, is that if you can do these little steps, which aren't so little, but basic tenets of financial stewardship, you're going to have a much better opportunity in your second career and starting off strong.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. A lot of employers do check credit reports, and a lot of, well, of course, a bank or any other lender is going to check credit scores. Did any of your, the folks you profile, have any of them gone to investors or looked for outside capital?
Oh, now that is an excellent point, Jerry. And that is another good reason why you need to have yes. In fact, that is, especially, you know, for entrepreneurs, that they do look. And again, you know, because it isn't easy, even though there's a lot of lip service to small business having a lot of loan opportunities these days, it is still a tough road. So a lot of people do go to outside investors, angel investors. And in that case, you also need to have very clean books and show that you're a very responsible money manager.
One of the things you mentioned earlier, Carrie, was that quite a few women that you've spoken with, or at least some, have decided to go to the nonprofit route, and I'd imagine you have some men who you've profiled who have done so as well. What kind of change does that involve? Is it different?
Well, I think, I think definitely. One other point I wanted to make, Jerry, about the angel investors, if someone does pick up the book, I have a nice list of resources of where to go for that. Now, in terms of going to a nonprofit, this can be a really different animal for people. Nonprofits offer, not only are salaries tend to be lower, but it's a different kind of work situation. They tend to be smaller organizations. They tend to be decisions are made by consensus in many ways. And so it's a little bit a different approach than the for-profit world. And it's more collegial, and I think women, you know, nothing gets done quickly. They tend to be a little slower, and the budgets are smaller, so you don't have as many resources. And for some reason, and I don't want to, you know, rule out, you know, men or come down as sexist on this, but women tend to deal with this sort of workplace a little bit better.
Mm. And so how do you make a transition? Let's say you've been in a corporate environment, now you're interested in going to the nonprofit world. Are they eager to hire
you? Know, there are some wonderful opportunities right now, to be honest with you. I write a blog for Forbes.com called Second Verse, and I wrote a column recently about this, and it is so true, Jerry. The nonprofit, they are hiring. And again, there are some opportunities there. And so I really encourage people that if they have an area that they're interested in, and one of the best ways to get inside a nonprofit is to start by volunteering. So I need to go back to that sort of talking a little bit about the importance of volunteering. But if you have an organization that appeals to you, you might start that way. You get in the door, you meet people, you network, you find out where the opportunities are and how the organization works. And I think that's a wonderful way to get inside. I profile a woman in my book who went, she had been downsized from her company. She didn't know what she wanted to do, but she started volunteering at a homeless shelter. And before long, she was asked to be on the board, actually, because of her leadership abilities and her skills kind of caught people's attention. And in time, she became the executive director.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's sort of a fairy tale story, but it does happen. And I think it involves get inside, and reach out to some of these nonprofits. But there are opportunities today.
Another term you talk about, Carrie, is the working retired, which I would imagine is an increasing group, given the economy and also given how long people are living these days. Tell me a little bit about that trend.
You know, this is where it's at, Jerry. I mean, the thing is, today, this is a whole new stage of life for people. I mean, the idea of retiring at 65 and off you go is just not really realistic on many levels. And whether someone is continuing to work for the financial resources, which many people are, because, we've had some economic times that sort of put us in that position, and fewer companies pay traditional pensions. And so if you can continue working and delay taking Social Security and all those benefits, that you'll be stronger in your retirement years. So I think more people are doing it, but people are also working longer and during what would be the traditional retirement time for the engagement. You know, simply because you've got maybe 15 or 20 more years ahead of you, why not move forward and do something and give back? I mean, we often talk, there's a great anthropologist, Mary Catherine Bateson, who has a terrific book out now, and she talks about, it's adulthood too. You know, the kids are raised, your primary career has sort of come to a certain point, and now's the time to maybe take a gap year, go travel, to get whatever it is you want to do out of your system, and then sit down and say, what do I want to do right now for the rest of my life?
And what are you finding that the working retired, I mean, everybody's different, of course, but are they more interested in part-time jobs, in working with nonprofits? Are they starting businesses, or is it just all of the above?
Well, it's a real smorgasbord, but I must say that part-time and flexible work is really hot. I mean, if you can find that kind of situation, and there are a lot of them. Actually, I hate to refer, I do a column for AARP called Great Jobs for Retirees, and it's extraordinary how many terrific part-time jobs there are out there, or jobs that have flexible work schedules. So say you only want to work a season. Maybe you only want to work during the fall, or you're a snowbird and go to Florida for the winter. You might find opportunities when the population swells and there's a need for people to do a wide variety of part-time jobs.
Carrie, what's one thing you'd like to make sure you leave our listeners with?
I must say, if you are going to make a career change or make any kind of change in your life like this, you need to believe in yourself. Because the fact is, I know that sounds a little woo-woo, but when it gets down to it, it's not easy. It's stressful, it's challenging, and it has great rewards. And you'll have, if you don't have, you want to have your partners on board with you, your friends, your family. But ultimately, it's up to you to, get through any setbacks. And if you believe in yourself, of the people I profile in my book, the one thing that struck me is the utter confidence they had in the direction that they took. They never second-guessed themselves. They did not look back. And why? Because they had prepared and they knew they were on the right path, even when things got difficult.
Oh, Carrie, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Jerry.
And Carrie's website, carriehannon.com. I'll spell that for you. It's K-E-R-R-Y-H-A-N-N-O-N. So carriehannon.com. On her website, she has links to the different articles she writes for various websites, and it's really inspiring. So I'd encourage you to pick up the book, but also take a look at the website. And if you're thinking about a change, just spend some time looking at what people have done, how they've done it, and how they've managed to make a switch. Because, and as Carrie mentioned, it's not easy, but it can be really, really, rewarding and, hopefully lucrative, too, for the long time that we have for retirement. Well, we're going to go to a break in just a moment. When we come back, I'm going to talk about a recent piece I did about a couple who was able to get a mortgage after they had gone through a short sale. And there are literally millions of Americans right now who have either lost their home to foreclosure or have lost a property to foreclosure, or maybe gone through a short sale. And my experience is most of them are thinking, I just can't buy a house now, at least not anytime soon. And what they found out as we searched through this process was pretty surprising. And we're also going to answer a question about one of the cards that's becoming very, very popular right now. So if you have any kind of credit damage, or maybe you just don't like credit cards anymore because of what the credit card companies are doing, we're going to give you an alternative and tell you about the pros and the cons and whether this might be the right card for you. Now, if you miss an episode, don't worry. We're on iTunes. You can just go to iTunes and search for Talk Credit Radio. You'll find all our episodes archived there. And we're also archived at credit.com and talkcreditradio.com. You're listening to Talk Credit Radio. We're live every week and on the web 24/7 at talkcreditradio.com.